Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Voice of Experience. Hi, Max.
Of course I was on mute. This is the story of this week. How you doing, Elke? Of course I was on mute. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I thought you were just ghosting me, and I was like, well, this isn't going to be any fun.
I was pausing for effect, for gravitas.
You had me on the edge of my seat, yes.
Just fumbling for the button. Okay. Yeah, it's a metaphor for something.
It is, and it happens to the best of us. So fall vibes going on right now.
I'm down. I'm into it. I like seasons where I don't sweat profusely.
Yes, that's a good thing. Are you someone that gets into all the pumpkin flavored things?
No, I really do love the colors, right? Like, so I maybe not the flavors, but certainly the colors. I'm down. Okay. What about you? Are you
I'm not
pumpkin,
like a
chai spice
no,
thing?
No, but I am. I'll go hard for like a big slab of pumpkin pie, like OG pumpkin pie.
OG pumpkin pie.
Yeah, with lots of whipped cream, like so much whipped cream that you don't see the pie anymore.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. Oh, you know, I like that. And, like, the pie is almost a surprise. You're like,
oh, delicious.
There's a pie on this fork. It's amazing.
Wow. What a delight. Yeah, for sure. But I will say I'm kind of mind blown that we're already here. It's nuts. Time flies.
Even the fact that it's mid-September as we're talking is just a mind boggle. We live in a simulation and it's on fast forward right now.
Yeah, I 1,000,000% yes. Okay, today is a great day for another Voice of Experience episode, and we've cooked up I think is a pretty interesting topic for today, inspired by the brand Sweet Lauren's Cookies, which recently went viral. Have you heard about this?
I have not. This is good. What is this?
So this is a great story. Social media manager Ryan accidentally renamed the company's TikTok to Ryan. So replacing the brand name with her own, which is like a major fuck up. I know. Unable to change it back for a week. The brand made lemonade out of those lemons, and they posted all this humorous content about the mishap, which led to an explosion of engagement with millions of views and a 46% jump in online sales. And of course, Ryan got a lot of fan love across the socials because so many people could relate to, like,
of course, it's so relatable. Oh my God. Just like you just describing it, I was like, I know exactly.
Yeah.
I've never done that, but I know exactly how it feels.
But we've all done
like
some really dumb shit at work, right?
Yes. Like filling in the wrong field, you know, and then having it live out there is very relatable.
Totally. So today we're going to dive into the curious alchemy of branding, where blunders don't just backfire, they actually break through.
So before we
got a couple of examples, but anything that immediately comes to your mind as far as like marketing mishaps that went viral?
I think we might have talked on a previous pod about that Coors Light. Mm. I think it was called Coors Lights Out. It was a home run that was hit out of the park by I forgot the player, and it basically broke the digital screen that was showing a Coors Light ad, and it just like basically created this black eye, so to speak, right? It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was an amazing moment for baseball. You know, it was cool. Made it all the news, you know, like, it was Shohei Ohtani who like, you know, cranked it out.
Yeah, sure.
And Coors Light was like, that's awesome. They saw their ad all over the news with like this black eye on it. And so they're like, cool, we're going to make a limited edition packaging of that black eye that looks like basically a giant black pixel on top of the big C, and everyone loved it. Of course, it was like, you know, very similar to the cookie company. You just like kind of embrace, you know, the present, embrace the situation,
sure.
And like you said, make lemonade.
I love it. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like, why do we think that those mistakes can create positive momentum for a brand?
Oh, because they're so human.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, it's like it humanizes. Like, what I love about the cookie example, sorry, I forget the name.
Ryan.
But
Ryan.
Like, Ryan. Yeah, like
or Sweet Lawrence. Yep.
Like, there was a name and a person right behind it, or the CEO or the CMO probably, you know, was out in front. And even in the Coors Light story, there was a player that's kind of like part of the story, right? And the way that a brand responds to it in a very human, relatable way of like almost like a marketing shrug, like, shit happens, right? Don't you think? And then having the creative jiu-jitsu power of like humanizing that mistake into something relatable. I think I think it's the most human thing possible, is to almost like accept a mistake, go on and compensate, right? And maybe not even a mistake, but just an event or a happenstance that may look like a blemish that is actually like the mark of beauty.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And, you know, leveraging humor in the case of Sweet Lawrence, or you could argue in the Coors Light example, you know, where appropriate, like that just makes for entertaining content and invites people sort of into the narrative and makes your consumers feel sort of invested in the story. And then they use that lore to create amplification for the brand. It's kind of this happy accident. It can be a happy accident, right?
It's really, in my head, dependent on the speed at which you act and the intention with which, you know, that sprint has, right? So, and I think that's like what comes out of these two examples for me, is at least, is just like, how do you rally people internally to see that as a real positive, right? To have the kind of culture internally, but also the kind of leadership, whether it's agency leadership or C-level leadership or, you know, just like internship leadership, to be like, hey, this is actually awesome, you guys, let's go, like, turn your frown upside down, right? And the ability to, you know, the ability to rally around that is really also something that I think implicitly, or maybe I'm just like way too deep in marketing in my own little rabbit hole, but I think implicitly culture roots for, like, you know, like it didn't take you weeks, it took you a couple of days, if not a couple of hours, to get, like, you know, to participate rather than to hide. And I think that is sort of implicitly celebrated as well in culture.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even sometimes we'll talk about, you know, these are very sort of light examples of mistakes or mishaps. Some are a little more serious in tone, but people love a good redemption story or a good comeback story. You know, they, like you said, they root for you.
It's America at its core.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everything that we, like, honestly, weirdly, okay, I'm on a little bit of a tangent.
Do it, do it.
Bear with me. Right? We talk about this often, like, about the power of humanizing brands, or the power of approaching marketing from a human lens, from a lens that sparks memories, brighter bulbs, you know, the potential for personal transformation, even. Like, this is the marketplace of ideas into which we're moving the industry in general. And it's really interesting that this humor or this culpability, so to speak, like, right, is being appropriated by brands, because we're not seeing that in other places in culture where we used to see that, right? Like, whether it's in Hollywood, whether it's in social media, whether it's in the political sphere, like, there's very little of that, like, yeah, we fucked up, right? There's like little of that kind of approach to life where we yearn for it. And if brands can occupy that space, great. Like, you're doing a great job.
God, that's such a great lesson. Yeah. And what an opportunity in other sectors to take a page out of that book, you know. So let's talk about another example. We can debate whether or not this was a mistake, but Southwest Airlines. So I'm not sure how many of our listeners know that this year Southwest introduced a first checked bag fee, despite their longstanding bags fly free promise, which of course this caused, you know, public outcry and also eroded trust in Southwest, to be honest. However, What's interesting about this example is the ensuing media storm renewed brand conversations and led to very strategic loyalty programs because loyal customers did not pay fees. So net-net, like, it increased overall engagement and brand loyalty. Although, you know what I mean? It was kind of like as a result of them going back on their brand promise. Like, oh, how does that hit you?
Again, it's like one of those things where, like, all right, so on a very superficial level, I love the idea of, like, shaking things up. Like, I love the notion of continuing, and this is on brand for Southwest, to be disruptive, sure. Right, to be challenging. And this is almost like challenging your own stuff, right? Like your own assumptions. Like, it's almost like a little bit of a growth spurt for them. Mm. But then with this shake up, right, you really see the colors. Like you see things differently. Like you might have uncovered new insight or uncovered new, I don't know, need states that you wouldn't have if you didn't have that shake up, right? And the ability to, again, like, rally and move into that new opportunity is really the key here, is that, cool, like, you can have this, I mean, it's basically like you could have this familial example of, you know, a teenager who took the car keys and took it for a ride overnight, you know, in the middle of the night and brought it back. And you're like, yeah, you could be angry, but, like, yeah, I can understand that. You're a disruptive company. You understand the dynamics, sure, of continuing to fly with us, like, changes, and what 20 years ago doesn't, you know, hold then, doesn't hold now. And if you understand these dynamics and you love Southwest for all these other things, we're going to take care of you. Right. Awesome. That's a really great response.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that it, I can understand why it made people more loyal. Like, in my mind, that makes sense. And you could call that very smart on their part. Although it seems to fly in the face of something that they held very dear as a point of difference from a brand perspective. So, you kind of wonder, like, are these moves truly mistakes or are they curated? So let's talk about Burger King. Burger King tweeted, "Women belong in the kitchen." Now, that line was intended as clickbait to promote culinary scholarships for women. However, the post was quickly called out for being tone deaf and it was promptly taken down. And although largely negative, the controversy amplified awareness of this program, proving that risky tactics can increase visibility. So, can a brand plan a mistake, Max, or does that sort of defeat the purpose of authenticity?
I think it defeats the purpose of authenticity. And honestly, if you said it, and I think culture picked up on it, it's pure clickbait. Hmm. Right. And I'm not, like, really mad at the clickbait part. I'm mad at the lazy copywriting. Like, I'm just mad at, like, that's what you came up with. Like, that is your provocation, is, like, a trope.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Okay. But I feel like, you know, if, and I don't know this, and maybe you know a little bit more about what Burger King did. Again, if the speed of reaction of Burger King was to, like, follow up immediately with a ha-ha smiley face emoji, you know, and then kickstarted, like, this awareness campaign for this program, cool. I sort of get that. But if it, you kind of are like, no, man, I sort of meant it all along for this program. Mm-hmm. And then, like, people kind of sort of, you know, smell the fakery a little bit. And I'm surprised because Burger King does such a great job trolling McDonald's. They do such a really good job, like, being witty. And
so
you know, and this is just like, I mean, definitely written by a man, right? Like, and without, like, any sort of, I don't know, like, wit, you know. And so I'm angry at that.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, it feels lazy. You know, I guess that's kind of a good way to sum it up. So, Let's talk about one more. And this one has divided the internet in recent weeks. American Eagle and Sydney Sweeney, the Has Great Jeans campaign. I know everyone has, just in case there's somebody out there that hasn't gotten caught up yet on this. The campaign launched in July of 2025 promoting American Eagle jeans with the tagline playing on jeans, G-E-N-E-S and J-E-A-G. I can't spell jeans. J-E-A-N-S. Oh, my goodness. Sparking massive debates, including accusations of eugenics. Yet, the denim collab with Sydney Sweeney sold out remarkably fast, driving record-breaking sales for American Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not asking you which side you sit on with this campaign, but do you think we're more, well, I don't want to ask this question because I'm assuming that you feel like that was a mistake. So let me ask a different question. Is virality ever worth the risk of a misstep? Like, because there's been a lot of conversation about what happened in the boardroom that got American Eagle to that place. And by the way, since then, they've kind of doubled down, kind of saying,
yeah,
you know, like defending the campaign and and also messaging that they believe in inclusivity and those types of things. What are your thoughts on that? Like, are we entering an era where imperfection is the new brand strategy?
Short answer is yes, but I'm gonna shock you.
Do it.
Okay. I actually think this American Eagle campaign was jean-less.
Yeah.
I think it was so well orchestrated and intentional. And the last I've read, and you know, I kind of put this away. We're on a 8-day cycle these days, right? But like the last I read, share price, which is literally, you know, for like the only thing that's that gets a raised eyebrow, both in, you know, in media and in rich people circles, is up 38%.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So for that to occur, right, there's obvious, I don't know, strategy, insight. Like I can't imagine a mistake to land 34% share price increase.
You're
like
right.
There's something behind that kind of success that makes me wonder if it was like serendipitous and fumbled into. And like honestly, like you know, it's sort of like a read the room campaign for me, right? Like it's a little bit less of creative, even though you know it's a disruptive campaign in the same way, and obviously they stole from Brooke Shields and Nothing Gets Between Me and My Jeans, and that caused a crazy commotion, cultural commotion. I think a president may have been elected because of, you know, the relaxing social mores that kind of that commercial like basically put out there, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it actually is a genius campaign that like understands the zeitgeist better than the obvious reaction to it that people get, right?
And, I agree and I with think, you.
And
yeah,
there's
I agree.
Something there.
Yeah, I agree. And brilliant use of genius, my friend. I mean,
I've been sitting on that. No, I'm kidding.
God.
It just writes itself.
Yeah, good stuff. So now let's just quickly connect to experience marketing, because you can't help but sort of think about these blunders and could they be integrated into more of an omni-channel approach? So like going back to the Sweet Lauren's cookies misstep, you know, is there an opportunity? You know, I think about like Ryan, the social media manager who made this mistake, you know, Are there opportunities to do some like personalization in where you can be like Ryan or use her popularity across social to further showcase her as like a face of the brand? You know, are there, is there more storytelling that we can do around these mistakes? We're, I guess, because of the real time nature of being able to react quickly, you know, when these things happen.
Yeah.
But now that Ryan has sort of, you know, she's a bit, there's some lore around Ryan, you know, she was trending and, you know, how can we start thinking about the integration of that? And if it's not in experiences in other channels, like, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, it actually unlocks the opportunity for both IRL activation and collabs and et cetera, because now you're not just a cookie company, you're a company that embraces imperfections, right? And so, you're absolutely right. Like, just in the Coors Light example, like, you could have Ryan packaging, right? Like, you could have the Coke example of get your name on a Coke bottle. Like, you can get, and like, you can have a whole recipe book of amazing like recipes that occurred because of imperfection or, you know, like fuck ups, right? Like, you get permission to play. In fashion, in food, in sports, like, you can sponsor, you know, the blunder of the day, you know,
it's
in
so
Sports
good.
Center that you could never have, you know, as a pure cookie company. So like, it gives you permission to play in culture.
I love that. And I think people just like the messy. We like the messy bits because it's very relatable.
I mean, look, think about all the like the brands that people have real deep affinities to. And I'm not just saying like the big brands. I'm talking about like even micro brands of certain ateliers or designers in L.A. or New York or whatnot. Like, the reason why there's that affinity is that there's a humanization of that. There's an accessibility to something beyond artifice and messaging. And it comes at you at regular intervals or whenever you want it. It's not manufactured, it's ingrained. And so the more brands can, you know, create that like opportunities to act more human. I mean, it's not the first time we've said this, and nor
won't
are we
the
first to say it.
Yeah,
it won't be the last. But it's just like, it's such an opportunity to act more human. And once you do that, you have permission to go deeper.
There you go, marketers. Write that down. I think that's beautifully said. So I'll bring us home here. So whether it's a rogue TikTok handle or a tone-deaf tweet, I think our takeaway today is clear that in branding, the line between blunder and brilliance is thinner than ever. And brands should embrace the chaos, own the story, and sometimes, just sometimes, your biggest mistake might be your boldest move. So thanks for tuning in to the Voice of Experience. And Max, enjoy the sweater weather.
Thank you, Elke. Until next time.
Till next time, my friend. Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.